I'm going to start as Muslims do in the name of God. In alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. To proceed, my brothers and sisters in humanity, peace be with you. Today, we're going to be discussing the Quranic argument for the existence of God. As you know, the Quran is the book of the Muslims, and it provides a very interesting argument for God's existence. Now, in chapter 52, verses 35 to 36, the Quran talks about the origins of the human being, the creation of the human being. And he says, the Quran says, God says, do you think you came from nothing? Do you think you created yourselves? Or are you the creators of the heavens and the earth? Now, interestingly, the classical scholars, classical scholarship, the exegetes, those who explain the Quranic discourse, they derived four logical possibilities to explain the emergence not only of a human being but of things that begin to exist. And this is quite key. And the four logical explanations are as follows: that thing came from or via nothing, that thing created itself, that thing was created by something else that was created, or that thing was created ultimately by something uncreated. Now, obviously, this whole argument rests on the premise, on the assumption that things begin to exist, and some things do. But when we apply this to the whole universe to try and articulate an argument for God's existence, we have to justify that the universe actually began. And we can do this very simply. First and foremost, when we look at astrophysical evidence, we know of the Big Bang. Obviously, the Big Bang is a popularized term, but there are various cosmological models explaining the origins of the universe. The strongest one, in my opinion, and in the opinion of many others, is the Friedman-Lemaitre model, also known as the hot standard model for the Big Bang. And it basically states that the universe has a spatio-temporal boundary, like an apex of a cone. T is equal to zero, time is equal to zero. This is why even the atheist Professor Lawrence Krauss, says that the universe began to exist. And we have the leading cosmologist, the Russian cosmologist, Alexander Vilenkin, saying just a few years ago in a lecture at Cambridge University that we can't run away from a cosmic beginning. So in a nutshell, the universe began according to modern cosmology. Also, we can bring into the argument philosophical evidence, because we could say something very simple. If the universe never began, it means it's always been here, which that would also mean it's eternal, which would imply that the history of the universe is infinite. But the question is, can you have an infinite number of anything in the real quantifiable world? Now, I know you may be thinking, isn't God supposed to be infinite? Yes, but that's a qualitative type of infinite. An infinite you can't quantify, which makes sense logically and rationally. But the one that doesn't make sense is the quantifiable infinite. Because, for example, if I had an infinite number of balls in this room, I take five balls away, how many balls do we have left? Some may say infinity. Some may say infinity minus five. But practically, we should be able to have an amount that's less than the previous amount. But that's not the case. It leads to absurdities. And if we apply this to the universe, we know the universe must have began because it can't have an infinite past. Because the past is quantifiable, it's real. So therefore, the infinite doesn't exist in the quantifiable sense. So therefore, the universe began from a scientific perspective and philosophical perspective. So since the universe began, we could bring the Quranic logical possibilities back into the equation. Could the universe come from nothing? Did the universe create itself? Was the universe created by something else that was created? Or was the universe created by something uncreated? Well, let's discuss the first option. Could the universe be created via or from nothing? Well, first and foremost, this is counterintuitive. We know it is inconceivable. As the author P.J. Zwart said in his book About Time, that if there is anything we could find inconceivable, it's that something could arise from nothing. Also, this is a metaphysical principle, because can being come from non-being? Of course it can't. This is an impossibility. Being cannot come from non-being. And we also know this from a mathematical sense, because what is 0 plus 0 plus 0 plus 0? It's 0. What is 0 minus 0 minus 0 minus 0 minus 0? It's still 0. So whatever you do with nothing or zero, you still get nothing. So the universe could not just come from nothing or via nothing, because it's impossible. The universe was once not existing, and then it began to exist. This is almost like a state change. And state changes require some form of energy or power. Take, for example, the state change of a ice cube in my hand. It changes from a solid to a liquid, not via nothing, but via something, which is temperature. So the universe could not come from nothing. Even though we may have some popular scientists saying the things can come from nothing, and they say particles come out of the quantum vacuum. But that's just language play. If we really understand what's going on here, it's actually not nothing, because the quantum vacuum is something. As the professor of science, John Polkinghorne, said, that the quantum vacuum is a rich structure, it obeys the laws of the universe, and it is actually something. Just like Christopher Wray said that the quantum vacuum is not nothingness, rather it's something. So this kind of narrative that things can pop into existence out of nothing is actually false. There's a language game. They're conflating quantum vacuum with nothing. Well, let's go to the next option. The next option is, could the universe create itself? Well, this again is an impossibility. How could the universe create itself? Because that would imply that the universe was an existence and not existence at the same time. I mean, can I exist and not exist at the same time? Can you exist and not exist at the same time? This whole thing is equivalent of saying that your mother gave birth to herself. I mean, although it's a crude thought, the point is it's an impossibility. Also, we have to understand this, that some physicists actually say the universe can create itself, which again is implausible from a philosophical perspective, but it means that we also have to address what they really say and what they're trying to say. Well, take Stephen Hawking as an example. He says, because of the quantum vacuum and gravity, you can have the universe emerging from nothing or creating itself. Well, this is an impossibility because he has some presuppositions. He's assuming something. He's assuming the quantum vacuum must always have been there. It must be eternal. And you have some fluctuations and plus gravity, then you have a whole universe emerging. Now, that does sound a bit like magic. It does, but we also have to see that that doesn't make sense theoretically. Why? Because if the quantum vacuum is eternal, that means there has been an infinite time for all the possible quantum fluctuations to emerge, which would mean that this universe must have collided with another universe at some point, because all possibilities must have happened if time is infinite in an eternal vacuum. So one way of running away from this is that physicists say, well, the vacuum is actually expanding as well. But this is problematic, because if the vacuum is expanding, we could rewind the clock, and it means it was once nothing, which doesn't really answer anything, because it brings us to the same problem. Could it come from nothing? And we've already established, no, it can't. So it leads us to the next possible option, which is that the universe was created by something that was uncreated. But again, this doesn't make sense because, for example, if this universe was as a result of another universe which was created, then therefore that universe must have been as a result of something else that was created also, like another universe. If that goes on forever, would we ever have our universe? Of course we wouldn't. Just like the famous Islamic theologian Ibn Taymiyyah and Dr. Ja'far Idris. Ibn Taymiyyah was a classical theologian. Dr. Ja'far Idris is a contemporary theologian and Islamic philosopher. They say that all you would have is non-existence. You would have non-existence if you had an infinite regress of causes or created things. Take the following into consideration. Imagine I was a marine or a soldier and I wanted to shoot somebody. In order for me to shoot, I have to ask permission from someone behind me. If that goes on forever, am I ever going to shoot? Of course not. Similarly, if this universe was created by something else that was created and that goes on forever, would we ever have the universe? No, we wouldn't. So this is something very key and something very interesting for us to really understand. And therefore, it would push us intellectually and rationally, if you like, and even intuitively, to the best explanation, which is the final option that the Quran gives us, which is that the universe was created ultimately by something that was uncreated. This is why you can't even posit who created God, because we've already understood that this universe cannot be as a result of something else that was created, and that can't go on forever, so there must be something uncreated. Just like the philosopher Abraham Varghese, he said, look, we have to choose. Either the universe is uncreated, or what caused the universe is uncreated. But since we know the universe began, then that must be created. And what created it ultimately must be uncreated. So we know we have an uncreated creator. But that doesn't mean that God exists. It doesn't mean it's Allah or Buddha or Jesus or any of the names that we've been arguing about since 6000 BC Sumeria. I believe there's around 3,800 different names for God that we've made up. I mean, God knows. So all we know, there's an uncreated creator. But if we continue this conceptual type of analysis, which basically means let's think hard about it, let's be rational, let's keep this rational inquiry, we will come to some striking conclusions. Number one, that this uncreated creator must be eternal. Because if it's uncreated, it has always been there, so it's eternal. If this uncreated creator created the universe, it must be intelligent. Why? Because number one, it created intelligent beings, therefore it must be intelligent. Number two, it created established laws in the universe, like the law of gravity. And an established law like gravity means there's a lawgiver, and a lawgiver implies an intelligence. Number three, this uncreated creator must be all powerful. Why? Because there's inevitable power in the universe. I mean, take the sun. It's one star amongst billions of stars in the universe. And one solar flare of the sun actually is equivalent to around 1,000 nuclear bombs. So it must be powerful. It must be immaterial or not made up of the universe, meaning it must be distinct and disjoined from its creation. For example, if I were to make this table, do I become the table? No, I don't. This is why Ibn Taymiyyah, the classical theologian, said that the creator has to be distinct and disjoined from creation. Hence, the Quran affirms this and says, "Laysa kimithlihi shay." There is nothing like unto the creator, nothing as the creator. He transcends creation. The other point is that this uncreated creator must have a will, known in Islamic theology and philosophy as irada, will. Why is that the case? Because if this uncreated creator is eternal and brought into existence a finite effect, like the universe it began, it must have chose the universe to come into existence. Finally, this uncreated creator must be one. The reason it must be one, because how can you have two all-powerful or powerful beings, or three all-powerful beings? It's implausible, because they will cancel each other out, and one power may always be dominating, and if they don't dominate each other, they're sharing power, which means that they're not absolutely powerful, and intuitively it doesn't make sense. But I think the strongest argument for the oneness of God is what we would call Occam's razor. Occam's razor is not only a Western principle in philosophy, but it's also an Islamic. Basically, what it states is the most simplest and comprehensive explanation is the most rational explanation. And what we mean by comprehensive, it has greater explanatory power and scope. Let me give you some examples. If you said there was two or three uncreated creators, it's not simple anymore. We've multiplied entities. Also, it's not comprehensive. It doesn't answer all the questions. It doesn't have greater explanatory power and scope, because it creates more questions, such as how do these three or two or five or ten gods or uncreated creators intermingle? How do they emerge or exist? How do they coexist? So it's implausible and irrational. But monotheism and the oneness of God is far more rational. We say there's one all-powerful being that's eternal, and it created the universe. This is not only more simpler, because it's saying there's one, but it has far more greater explanatory scope, because it answers more questions, and it doesn't produce questions. We're not asking the question, how do these two created things, or things that create, how do they intermingle and interact? Because it's simple, it's just one. So you see, it has great explanatory scope and power, and is far more simple, which means that monotheism is far more rational and polytheism is irrational. So look what we've done. Just by using our minds and pondering on the universe, we've come to the conclusion that God exists. That was affirmed in the Quran, the book of the Muslims, 14 centuries ago. As the Quran says, قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. Say, God, Allah is uniquely one. He is eternal. He begets not, nor was he begotten. There is nothing like unto him. Thank you very much for listening. Peace be with you.